I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast.
So we just got the press release about your book yesterday, I think it was, and so I'm curious how that came about, and maybe you could give us one juicy little tidbit that we didn't already hear about from it.
Oh,
the Inquisitor.
Well, basically, you know, how it came together is I've been giving speeches at like gay banquets and having, and not even just gay, but you know, just people wanting to know more about me. And I started writing things down, and I was telling a friend about it, who's a writer, and she said, you know, there's a book in there. So I kind of sat down and looked at it, and I thought, you know what, there is a book in there. And I think a little tidbit I can give you is, you know, I grew up basically with everything handed to me, not my career. I mean, I worked for that, but I had a really good family. I was brought up with a lot of love, but still I chose time after time after time to suffer over so much. And that mental component of suffering is, you know, the thing that I think if I can look back on my life that I've learned to, it's a choice. And to this day, I still will choose, you know, to maybe angst over something when I really don't have to. And how to kind of just let your life flow. I know it sounds new agey and granola-y, but it's truly what I've come up with, that you really need to trust that you're on your own path. And as long as you stay true to it and you show up, and, you know, you're just showing up is 90% of it. So basically, that's kind of what I'm saying.
In the past 2 years, it's been a huge 2 years for you and for Sue Sylvester. Are you finding that now when you go to work, you get the scripts and you just expect the antics, or is there anything about her character and what she gets up to that still takes you by surprise?
Well, of course, the addition of my sister, having a sister with Down syndrome, took me completely by surprise. Let's see, the Carol Burnett coming on as my Nazi hunter mother took me by surprise, and I was also very surprised that when I said my mother was a famous Nazi hunter that was true. It turns out that there are so many things that I've said that I'm like, yeah, sure, I smoked out Noriega with special forces, and I'm sure we'll do an episode where, you know, maybe an old war buddy of mine comes back, and indeed, that was true, too.
What is your favorite evil scheme that Sue has ever pulled?
Let's see. Oh, wow, good. Oh, I think when she forced Schuster to get the monkey flu, and she turned a sneezing Lauren Sizes right into his face. Oh, no, she didn't do it. She did that to Figgins to get him sick.
Right.
And I also got Matt sick. Oh, Matt, I didn't have anything to do with getting Matt sick, but getting Figgins sick so I could become the principal.
I did want to ask about doing these very special episodes versus the run-of-the-mill episodes, and I wonder which kinds of episodes do you think Glee does best, and your character is showcased best? Is it better when you have these highly anticipated Madonna Super Bowl episodes, or do you prefer episodes where it's just the regular storyline playing out?
You know what's interesting? I think that what I love about this show is, maybe with the exception of a couple, every episode is kind of a big deal. They do something, you know, outrageous, or a song, or someone has, you know, an outrageous moment. You know, I look forward to the script all the time, and, you know, these shows were like, you know, doing the Britney or the Madonna or something where it's Super Bowl, where it's special, they're very fun as well. And you know, there's always a lot of anticipation, and I know they have a lot of production meetings for certain songs, and certain episodes are heavier than others in terms of pre-production. But, you know, I like them all, and I really don't feel like we have a run. Maybe we've had two run-of-the-mill that were like, But I can't even think of what they were. And you know what? I wouldn't tell you.
Are there ever any extra stresses on you? Do you ever feel a little more anticipation coming up to a Super Bowl episode?
No, not really. I mean, I was thrilled that I got to reckon off a couple of offices in Super Bowl. But, you know, if I'm singing and dancing, there's, you know, always a little bit of a anticipation and anxiety.
After the Super Bowl episode, we have there's the Valentine's Day episode, which I'm very excited for as well, especially because it's 2 days after. You know, we sort of watch your character sort of try to find love and all that stuff. This is sort of a two-part question. Will she find, is there a love line for her in this episode? And also, who was your own first love?
I am not in that next episode, so I will have no. I will be finding no love. I'm on the bench to use the football metaphor for that next Valentine's episode. And I believe that's one directed by Kate Donovan. And my first love, you mean like in my head or actual? My first love in my head, believe it or not, was Ron Howard.
Can you just talk from your perspective, I mean, what Glee has done for your career and what this has been like for you as someone we've seen in so many things over the years to have this role at this time?
Well, I have, I found out like in the middle of the first season that, you know, we have employment for three seasons. So that has never happened to me before. So that is different, and that is wonderful to know that I will be employed, barring, you know, a big catastrophe, for the foreseeable future. And I haven't had that in my life, and it's a real psychological relief. And then I'll probably go back to jobbing, like I always do. I think that, you know, I've certainly become more popular, and the character has become iconic, and those are all wonderful things. And I'm very well aware of the fact that I'm breathing rarefied air.
I wondered, and you talked a bit about shooting Brittany out of a cannon this episode, and, you know, it just seems that season two could take over the school at any moment or marry yourself. Does it ever seem to you that it goes too far? Do you find that
always
sometimes gets too far fetched?
Every Derby script I read, I go, "You've got to be kidding!" You know, and that's why I'm glad I'm not writing the show. It always goes too far. It's always ridiculous. Some of the things that I do, how mean I get, and how everybody lets me get away with it, it's all ridiculous, and I love it, and I'm glad I'm not writing it, because I would have made it more realistic, and I would have given her, you know, kind of altruistic motivations, and, you know, it's a good thing I'm not writing television, let's just put it that way.
What's the best piece of advice that you could offer your 17-year-old self?
Oh, isn't that sweet? I just, you know, I'm just actually took that premise and wrote a little something just the other day. I would tell myself, if I could go back to myself, to not suffer, to don't sweat it. Don't try to control things, and just let your life happen, and, you know, show up and do your best everywhere you go, but there's no reason to beat up on yourself. That's what I would say.
Are you going to go into those deep, dark parts of the book?
Deep dark, you know, I don't really have deep dark. It's really not deep dark. That must either you read it differently or it was misleading. Basically, what I'm going to do is, you know, of course I have my own deep dark, but I guess the message coming out of it is that it's always a choice on whether you suffer through your life or if you, you know, the same things are going to happen to you for the most part. But do you have to have that mental component of suffering? And that's kind of the point of the whole thing. I mean, I definitely was depressed, and I thought that, you know, everything was dark and hopeless, but that was a point of view that I didn't have to have.
I was just wondering, obviously Sue has a very evil and dastardly side, but she also has quite a soft side. What do you prefer playing?
I love when I get an equal dose. I like to get you know, the variety. I like for Sue Sylvester to be firing on all cylinders. I don't like to stick to one thing for too long, and the writers make sure of that, which is great.
Besides your own character, who's your favorite character on the show, and why?
Let's see. Good question. My favorite character. Oh, I'm loving Beast, Coach Beast. I love how big her heart is, and I love how selfless she is, and, you know, heroic.
What's your advice to actors?
Good question. It's so deep, man. And then yet when it comes down to it, just keep doing it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Do it for free. Do it for money. Do it where no one shows up. Do it where everybody shows up. Just keep doing it.
I was wondering if you could share your favorite Sue one-liners, or one of them, or a couple of them.
Yeah, let's see. I love the monologue where I talk about the 1968 convention where Mayor Daley punched his own wife in the face. That was pretty fun. I like the one where I say, loving musical theater doesn't make you gay, it just makes you awful.
Sometimes it seems like Sue really is trying to destroy the Glee Club, mm-hmm. but other times it seems like she's more trying to kind of improve it through tough love. Are these two natures of Sue going to come to a head at some point, or is there a way you would like to push the character to choose one or the other?
No, I don't know if that will ever happen. I think the thing is that I keep coming back to is to that motivates all these different ways she goes after them is that she just wants an enemy. She's looking for the next fight. And sometimes it's that fight to get these people to stand up for themselves instead of being so weak and wussy. And other times it's, yes, to destroy them because they threaten her spotlight in the Cheerios that she worked so hard to make, you know, a world-class cheerleading squad, and she doesn't want anything in their life. But I think she's always looking for a formidable enemy, and I think she also has a fondness for Will and for who he is and how he's genuinely just a good person. And in moments, she hates him for it. In other moments, she's just has great admiration for him.
How do you sort of achieve that mean character from an acting standpoint without sort of taking away from the authenticity and sort of knowing that there's multi dimensions to her? How do you make sure that it still comes across as authentic and real when you do go on those mean rants that you mentioned?
Well, I mean, I can tie them all together. She's a human being. She has all different colors to her, but as long as I keep it rooted in some truth, then, you know, anything really can work. I have to keep it as truthful as possible. You know, at any given moment, whether I'm ranting or I'm helping somebody out.
Why do you think you wouldn't go after a bigger playing field? Do you think it's just because she wants to remain the big fish in the small pond? Or maybe will we get to see any one or person or group besides Glee that could come in and steal her thunder?
That could happen, but I think it is she wants to stay the big fish in a small pond. You know, the last episode of the first season, Olivia Newton-John and Josh Groban are the celebrity judges with me, and they say to me, you know, we're flying back to L.A. tonight, first class, where are you going? And the thing is that Sue will never be flying first class, and she will never go to L.A., and she will probably not. I think she has grand ambitions, but I think she knows that she will never be anything bigger than a Lima, Ohio coach and a terror at this high school.
And you have such great comedic timing. Is it natural for you, or have you had to try to hone it?
I think it's natural, but I have honed it. I mean, I play around with it all the time, and but I think it is something that it does come naturally.